You're listening to the Franchise Freedom Podcast with Giuseppe Grammatico.
Welcome to the Franchise Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Giuseppe Grammatico, your franchise guide. And today we have a very special guest. Today we are speaking with Derek Champagne. Derek shares his diverse story from living in a teepee at an early age, performing on stage by the age of three, his years as a Hollywood musician, and his diverse journey to get where he is today. Derek is a serial entrepreneur with over 15 years of experience developing effective marketing campaigns for startups to household brands. He is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building memorable brands, marketing tools, and campaigns for startups to household brands. Derek is the author of the best-selling marketing book, Don't Be a Duck, that's D-U-C-K, endorsed by Seth Godin, and the host of the popular Business Leadership Series podcast that also airs as a syndicated weekly business show on ESPN Radio in multiple markets. Derek is also a published musician with contributions on soundtracks that have been featured on ABC, MTV, Bravo, E, and Oxygen. Wow, very lot of stuff going on in that bio. Welcome to the show, Derek.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Love the format. Love what you're doing, and I'm happy to be here today. Honored.
Awesome, I appreciate you being on the show. That was a very impressive bio. I usually go two sentences, but there was so much on there. I was like, you know what, I have to cover this, and we got to touch on some of that. But once again, welcome to the show. I always like, just to kick it off for the audience, if you can fill us in a little bit on your background, you know, how did you get into the business you're in now, and what's that journey look like?
Yeah, you bet. And so what I'll do is I'll touch on a few of the things you mentioned because they're hard not to, right? And right. I want to mention that bio is the result of many years of certain things I didn't share and always being encouraged by my mentors of saying, hey, that's an interesting thing about your past. You should share it.
Right.
Really? Do they want to hear that? Are you sure? And so I've kind of learned over the years, like, okay, share the parts about you, the interesting, the best parts, but also the things that are a little bit different because that your story is what makes you who you are, makes you different. That's what separates you from everybody else. Mm-hmm. So embrace it. So, you know, early on, I said I lived in a teepee. I'll keep that part short, but my parents had moved from the East Coast to a little place in Arkansas, bought tons of acreage and built a teepee. They were retiring in their early 20s. They had just made a whole life change. And so there we were. And that was in the 70s. And that just seemed like the thing to do. It didn't last for too long. But they were also touring musicians. So from an early age, I got to go on the road with them and see how they made connections with audiences and just had a great time. I was doing sound and playing music. As I said, at the age of three, I was singing for the first time. And my brother and I had a band by the age of 10. So I kind of had two things going on in my life. One is I really had a curiosity about marketing and music. I just really thought they were both really intriguing. And then the second thing is I really thought business was really interesting, just any kind of business. And so I actually bought into my first franchise when I was 18 years old. Wow. And I built that up, and it was a little one, but I built it up for 2 years and sold it and had the opportunity. I had another small company that I started around that time. And then I chased a dream. I had a dream of going to, and you'll hear a theme with me sometimes, is something's big and scary, but I should do it. I go and do it. I need to do it. I don't want to have regrets. And so I had an opportunity to move to Hollywood and go to a Musicians Institute out there, and I got to perform. I was in the house band when Johnny Depp owned the Viper Room. I was a Sunday night band there. I got to tour all over and do some fun stuff on soundtracks and TV shows. And I had two companies out there as well. And I kind of got tired of that life. I met my wife, and it was midnight shows, and it was just an exhausting life, just exhausting. And I was ready for a change. And it was scary to make the change when we're familiar with something and it's our identity. It's tough to make a change. So I made a big change, and I made a big change and moved on over to and my wife fell in love with Northwest Arkansas where I had grown up. So we were either going to move to New York or Fayetteville, Arkansas. Big mm-hmm. difference, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so we moved to Northwest Arkansas, and I went to work for a company that had clients like T-Mobile, Dial, Rubbermaid, Crayola, big agency clients, and I worked there for a while, and then I had an opportunity to make a transition, which I'll talk to you about in the next part of our conversation about what that transition is like. But ended up starting this agency in 2007 and had a chance to build it up. And it wasn't all smooth sailing, and there were some scary moments, but here we are, what, 13 years later, and we've had the chance to work with clients in close to 30 states and from startups to household brands and just do some really fun campaigns of building strategy and helping clients grow by helping them with the day-to-day execution of all of their marketing.
Wow, that's very, very impressive. And you've definitely done a lot and experienced a lot. I heard you say 2007 when you started the agency. That's a good year for me. Our first child was born, my son, and started my first franchise as well. So
nice. Awesome.
That was a big year. Definitely a tough year as getting started, but a memorable year. So that's awesome. So yeah, I mean, you talked about transition. I mean, I can't imagine as a musician traveling, it's difficult, especially you know, when you're married, looking to start a family. I know in my case, and I started my business because of, you know, we wanted to start a family. I was married and started a business in 07. My first child was born end of 07. So I get it. And I did not want to be coming home at 9, 10 o'clock at night from New York City, just to see them sleeping. I wanted to actually spend time with them during the day. Right. It sounds like such a basic thing. So if you could talk to us about, because you know, that there's always that fear, you know, we call it career transition. It's fear of the unknown. And the only way to kind of squash that fear, get over the fear, is talking to people. What are your questions? What are you fearful for? You know, start to kind of map it out and look at the numbers and speak to various people. So if you could talk to us how, I guess, you know, I guess that journey, or I should say that transition from, you know, working in the cubicle to getting into the, you know, into music to now the agency, just, you know, maybe if you want to wrap in some advice, what's that kind of the journey look
sure.
like?
Happy to do that. So you talk about fear. Yeah. That's what keeps most people from making transitions, right? Is the fear. And it's the fear of the unknown. So I'll talk about some advice on that. One is, what is writing out what could possibly happen? And this is, I want to pull back the curtain for a minute. Okay. Once you make the transition to entrepreneurship, it doesn't mean that all transitions are done.
Right.
Right. Transition is just a part of life. And anytime that you're going for something bigger or want to make a change, there's going to always be transitions. We've had in our agency, after a decade, we had a major transition happen. We've made a transition this year with COVID. It's pivots and it's growing. And so what helps me is to write out all possible outcomes. I'm not God. I can't figure out everything. But, you know, we had a point where I wrote out about 8 pages of what could happen. Some were exciting and some were bad. And I thought, this is what, if I do this, this is what's going to happen. This is what could happen to my finances. This is what could happen to my family. This is what could happen to my reputation. If things go well, this is what could happen. Or here's a hybrid of it. By the time I was done with that exercise, which I do often now, the worst of it was not that bad. It was okay. I could go back and go to another job, or I could do something different. So once I knew what the worst thing was and I saw what the best thing was that could happen, that made it easier for me. Like, it's just that unknown. A lot of people don't take the time to go through every scenario. You do it 2 a.m. when you're scared, right? Or when you can't sleep at night, but not in a cognitive state, relaxed, and just writing it out as an exercise. You're kind of in control of that. You can't control everything, but if you know the variables, then you can look at it more logically, like you're reading a story. And this is kind of what you're doing right now. You're kind of writing out what your story could be, good and bad, right? And so now you're reading what your story could be. Then you get to help shape it. So a transition that I had, a major one is, let me take this one. I went from music industry, which there I had my identity, right? I was an entrepreneur and a musician. It was a notable place. It was a great identity, exhausting or not. 10 months later, I'm at a cubicle in Bentonville, Arkansas, Hollywood to Bentonville. and during that time, and I did it by intent. I designed that life, but it wasn't going like I thought. And during that time, if you're familiar with the artist, John Mayer, big recording artist, during that time, I'm sitting in a cubicle and I got a text that he had just endorsed, all the project that I had been a part of that I had left. And I was completely left out in the cold on it. Yeah, you feel that? Oh, yeah. I actually heard an explosion in my head. I'm not joking. An explosion. Boom. And I tasted copper or pennies. I tasted it. And I thought I was having a something bad happening to me. And they took me to the emergency room. And they said, no, you're fine. It happened 2 more times within about a month period. And I couldn't explain it. And finally, a doctor said to me, Derek, you're not sick. You're unhappy. Mm-hmm. And you've got to do one of two things. You've got to learn to like where you're at, or you've got to make a change. And here I had just made a major transition. And I said, wow, yeah, you are right. And I went, and that's when I went in to my boss at the time. And I said, hey, I'm making a transition. and I'm going to be going a different direction. I'm going to start an agency if I have your blessing on that. And they gave me their blessing. Mm-hmm. And so it was a Jerry Maguire kind of moment. I went in the parking lot, and they were about to let some clients go. And they said, here's a couple clients. You can take them. I went in the car and I sat down and I called one of our clients and I said, hey, I've got some bad news. We've got to let you go. But the good news is I can take you on as a client. I'm going off my own. Mm-hmm. And that might have been the longest 30 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever it was of my life of silence. And he said, what time can you get here? And that's how we launched this agency, which has grown significantly from that time. But so that was a transition. And you know what, though, I realized is it's always going to be scary. I talked about that fear thing, but I needed to for my growth. I was physically being forced to make a change to where I was happy. And so if there's anyone listening that has a misalignment, and I've been there, I've been in other jobs, mm-hmm. a misalignment of who they are and where they're going and what growth they need, and it misaligns with what they're currently doing, you need to make a change. You need to make a change. What that is, I'm not sure, but you need to make a change. And you, it is a game changer with your mental health and then with you being able to fulfill the potential that you have.
That's huge. And you know what, that's something, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because we rarely talk about this, but we talk about, you know, as you just mentioned, misalignment, and that is huge. And people, yeah. I don't think they understand that. You know, they look at goals like, I'm going to just start a business and I'm going to work 24/7. And I don't care if it takes me 10 years and I'm going to do this, this, and that. But then they forget the reason they are starting that business is to have the freedom to spend with their family. So there's a misalignment. You want to spend time with your family, yet you want to work 24 hours a day and do whatever it takes. Now, I always say the first year in any business is always going to be difficult and you're going to be putting in more hours. But the goal is to be able to step back, put systems in place. You know, that's why I love the franchise industry. The system's already built for you day one. But in the event it's not a franchise, because franchising isn't always the right fit for everyone, you know, that there's a misalignment there. You want a business to support the lifestyle that you want. And it's not all about money. We all love money, but at the end of the day, it's freedom of time, which is quite frankly what, you know, we're all limited to. We can talk about there's no limit to the amount of money I can make, but we all have, no matter who you are, 24 hours in a day. So what are we going to do with that time? And that misalignment of, I'm going to work all the time, I'm going to do weekend calls and night calls and this and that. No. I'm going to structure my business, you know, in the hours of 9 to 5. Maybe I have one late night a week, but I'm going to have dinner with my family. I'm not going to miss a soccer event, that kind of thing. And that's huge. And I'm so glad you brought that up. We didn't even talk about this before the show, but there is a huge, you know, some people listening to this may say, well, oh, I didn't hit my goal of working 20 hours a day and getting 5 clients every single day and whatever the goal was. It's not that you're missing on your goal. Your goals were not aligned with the lifestyle and what you wanted. So huge, huge point. And I'm so glad you brought that up. Completely got off topic there, but I appreciate you bringing that up.
You bet. I think it's an important one. And, you know, and if I may elaborate on that is, yeah. You know, there's prisons of all kinds that we can build for ourselves and make it, you know, it's a misnomer to just automatically assume, hey, if somebody goes out on their own as an entrepreneur, they just have all that freedom. I have seen so many business owners that create their own prisons. And I know this because I build brands, right? So we help shape perception. We help build authentic brands and stories. And so, and I've done it to myself with my own companies where my wife would say, you made this,
right?
You built this. And so it's up to us, whether it's a job we're in or whether we have the opportunity to create and put boundaries around us. It doesn't mean there's not seasons where you work harder or where you're doing extra hours, but those boundaries are critical in order for you to have that freedom that you want and that balance in life. And that's so important. You hear about your health is your wealth, but that's important too, is you have to have just a balanced lifestyle in order to be able to enjoy the business that you're building.
I agree. Could not agree more. And you know, even in the whole career transition, you know, we talked about 8 pages of notes that you took of what could happen. Was part of that, you know, if I stay exactly where I'm at in my cubicle, what's going to happen? Because some people, you know, they look at the job as from my experience and, you know, in just doing it myself and talking to, you know, hundreds of people, you know, every single year and helping them figure out if business ownership is the right fit, is they say, well, I have a safe job. And I go, well, obviously, COVID aside, this has been a crazy year, but is the job safe? You know, what is really going to change? Maybe a promotion, maybe a little bit more money, but you're kind of still stuck there. Could be fired at any point. You know, is there a risk? And they, a lot of times they'll come back and say no, because they're just looking at pure investment. I can invest $100,000 in a business. I can lose that money. But what about in a job? You know, you work 20 years for a company for them to lay you off. You're left with nothing. And in many cases, the job is so specialized. As I know people, you know, in the marketing space and advertising space, they know one aspect of marketing. They couldn't run a complete marketing campaign. They right. know maybe one aspect of social media, and that may be as specific as Facebook, and that is it. You can't run a marketing campaign with one aspect. It may not even work with your business. Right. So there's a risk to both. And I think people just, they just look at the investment outlay. And I said, well, what's the upside? You know, it's, and then they go, well, I can be home and I can work 3 days a week, which is a dream. And I can vacation more and not miss another soccer game. And so I think, you know, as you mentioned, writing it out, speaking to somebody else, you know, whether it's a coach like myself or, you know, a spouse, family member, whoever it is, but just to really go down the list is crucial. So,
well, I talk about Maslow's hierarchy of need often. I talk about it in my book too. It's not a new concept, but I talk about operating from either the survival mode, right? Where the cavemen and women operated, which was just survival, hunt, eat, fire, sleep, water. And then at the top of the pyramid is self-actualization and helping others and all those things. And so when you start taking words, if someone's sitting there wondering in their cubicle or their job, they might own a company and be feeling this. If you can't answer, if you feel like something's missing and you start thinking words start popping up in your head like legacy, purpose, impact, generational, those type of words pop up and you go, you know what? I'm created for more. You know, I've got people on my team who I love so much and they want to be technicians. They're great at what they do. They're not necessarily trying to be a visionary pushing a company. That's not for everybody. Right. But it can be a solution for someone who's sitting there. And even if it's going to another position or another company, if it's not ownership, is if you find yourself thinking of those words and they mean something to you and there's something missing, I believe it is our obligation, mm-hmm. our responsibility, if we're called to that, to go and do something about it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree. Take action. I mean, that's kind of the, you know, a lot of us are not having to go into the office every day, working from home. So take advantage of the extra time, that the commute, do a little soul searching, you know, speak with a coach or mentor. You know, it doesn't have to be just a coach. It could be a mentor. It could be, you know, doing some research online. But a lot of us have a little bit more time on our hands. You had mentioned your book. Talk to us about your book. What when did that come out? And if you could talk a little bit about
sure. It came out a few years ago, and I actually have a new I have a new release coming out of it, an updated release coming out in January 2021. So whenever this airs or has aired, that's the newest version, just because things change so much. But you know, I've had an opportunity to review thousands of brands and see what works and what doesn't. And really, I'm talking about some household names too, but a lot of startups in between. And so I wrote this book, a practical kind of pull the veil back on what marketing can be and should be. I have stories from my street team days of being a guerrilla marketer on Sunset Boulevard and Hollywood Boulevard. I talk about case studies and what I've learned on how to grow a budget, how to do better branding, how to really get results, how to communicate effectively, how to build out who your target should be. So it's really a book for entrepreneurs that are, it's called Don't Buy a Duck, Stop Wasting Money and Only Do Marketing That Works. And it really is focused. I have graphs and of actual customer campaigns that have worked really well. And we want to make marketing more accessible to everybody. And there's just, like, as you mentioned earlier, there's a lot more than just placing a Facebook ad, right? Or the old days of doing print or TV. And so we really just try to make sense of the whole thing. And that's the whole point of the book, is to kind of take the mystery out of what marketing is and make it these really practical steps. And I talk about 5 crisis points in marketing and identifying those. That's how we've seen traction happen from startups to household brands.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah, marketing has changed quite a bit. I know from when I was back in my grad school days to we didn't really have social media and all these other platforms. And it gets overwhelming. You know, as a solopreneur, I am on my own. You know, I have the show and we present and you know, we meet with candidates one-on-one. And obviously you want to get the word out, and there's only so much you could do. So I had the agency I'm with now, you know, kind of focus in on three pillars, you know, three ideas, because you can't be an expert in every area. You can't spend all day on social media posts while doing webinars, while recording podcasts, while, you know, there's so many options. So I don't know. Did you talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. Sifting through it. And, you know, this, if you keep in mind, this is what I spend half my time doing with teams. In fact, right before this, we were consulting a company out of Louisiana that was trying to figure out what should we be doing. Is it blogs? Is it, you know, LinkedIn? Where do we put our focus as a small team to execute? And so, yeah, we address that. And there's a philosophy and a mindset behind it. So while technology will continue to change and the platforms will continue to change, the approach does not change. And learning the things that we share, we talk about I talk about a brand's Bermuda Triangle, like the confusion we see happening around even some bigger brands and their messaging and how they're presenting themselves and who they're talking to. That's half the battle. So once we figure those things out, it's a lot easier for us to get traction on platforms. But also, we don't have time to waste on doing everything. You can't be blogging just for the sake of blogging or podcasting just for the sake of podcasting. There's not time for that. You have limited time, and time is the most important valuable resource you have. And so for a small business owner to be spending their time as the thought leader, they better be getting some traction from it, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And even in the franchise world, there's a lot of companies that'll do turnkey marketing for you. Others will do a kind of a hybrid. It'll be turnkey on maybe the social platforms, but then they'll give you the assets to run with if you want to present, network, print out flyers, that kind of thing. And to your point, you kind of have to, you can't do it all. You can't do it all effectively, I should say. I guess you can do it all, but you really want to double down and you know, what works. So
we put three buckets, if I can share quickly.
Absolutely.
We do three buckets. This is the simplest way we can do this, right? Is when someone says, should I do it? We say there's three buckets. The bucket on the left is new customer acquisition. So anything that we're putting there, if it's not directly driving customers, then it doesn't go in that bucket. So if we're being hired for new customer acquisition, let's only focus on that bucket. Okay. The middle bucket is your internal bucket. It's keeping the customers that you have. It's referrals. It's upsells. It's all of those things. It's new products for your current customer base. It's making sure there's no holes in the bucket, because you can't just keep putting new customers in if you're not retaining them. Right. And so, and then the third bucket is our blue skies, our PR, our thought leadership. We know that it drives traffic back, and we'll probably put some new customer links in there to make sure that it does fill that other bucket. But we understand the value and where it goes there. We understand that a lot of times that third bucket is for longevity in the marketplace, for taking market share, for building value to sell at a later date, right? It's all those, a lot of them are intangibles. It's consistent press, it's consistent community outreach, and all of those things. But when we're looking at all three, we have a healthier understanding when we're talking with clients, okay, well, which bucket do we think that fits in? Both? Okay. But that way we're not doing one thing and it really isn't going to get the desired outcome.
Right.
Right. And so just those three is the simplest way to go, okay, I'm doing my marketing, which bucket is this going to go in? And if I have limited resources, which bucket should I be focusing on right now? Well, we have a pretty full new customer acquisition list right now. So, but we're losing some. Okay. Well, let's put our limited resources in that internal bucket. Or we're doing well on both of those, but we really could use some more PR and, you know, go into a new marketplace or whatever it might be. Great. Let's go to that third bucket. And there's just a balance that happens in those three.
Right. No, that sounds great, and many of us do need that assistance, because it does become overwhelming. So, and also, it probably helps to have outside eyes as well. Maybe not specifically in the industry that we're working in, to give some outside perspective. Mm-hmm. And you know, I may think PR is the way to go, and you may feel otherwise. So, I think that's an invaluable advice. So, talk to us about your company, if you can. Maybe elaborate a little bit more. You know, what's new with your company, who you work with, and how can people reach you and contact you?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, really excited right now. So we went, you know, obviously wherever this airs, everyone remember that in 2020 there was a pandemic, right? Right. Hopefully, some people listening to this go, that was a long time ago, but this is still great content, right? But so we had an opportunity earlier this year. I'll go back a little bit. 18 months ago, we're looking at how do we create more impact and growth. And there's a couple goals we have for our agency. It's more than just doing marketing. It's how do we create generational wealth and impact in other markets for other leaders? And that really was top of mind for us. And so we saw an opportunity for us to have an expansion with these territory ownership. And so what we've done is we sold Atlanta in March, even during COVID, And that market's doing really well. So our first flagship market was Atlanta. So our agency is expanding right now with agency owners in those markets. And so we have a desire, our goal during the next 5 years is to be in the top 20 emerging markets with a local owner that comes in and is a part of building the brand with us. So their job, that person's job is actually to do business development. That's their focus. And everything is being made here at HQ. We are doing all of the social media management and all of the HR and all of the billing and all of those things so that that local owner can just focus on building relationships. And so our next markets, Nashville, Austin, Dallas, Raleigh, Phoenix, Denver, expanding into every emerging market that has a million plus people and is projected to have continued growth. So that's been our big focus. We're really excited about.
Wow. Exciting stuff. Best way someone wants to contact you, at what point do you recommend they contact you directly? Do they pick up your book? But someone may be on the fence. Like, what do I call you directly? Do I
check absolutely. Out? Absolutely. So first of all, I love to make connections. I love to hear people's stories. So I'll give you a couple different connection points. One is feel free to jump on LinkedIn and mm-hmm. just look up Derek Champagne. I'm very active on there. That's a big platform for me. I'd be happy to hear your story and would love to hear your thoughts. We also, for those that are looking maybe for a change or think that owning an agency or being a part of a territory in a growing market might be interesting, we have a hidden page that I'll share with you, but we have a link, ionanagency.com, ionanagency.com. And that has more information about our expansion across the U.S. right now and how we're bringing on amazing leaders in each of the market to be a president and co-founder of each of those markets with us. Otherwise, can go to our website, theartistevolution.com. And just see more about the kind of clients we're working with and the type of work that we're doing.
And is there a specific, just for everyone listening too, I mean, is there a specific size or do you work with solopreneurs since we do have quite a few listening in?
We do work with some solopreneurs. You know, the majority of our clients are established businesses mm-hmm. that are doing, you know, 3 to 5 million plus. And some of our clients are even up in the multi-billion dollar range. But we do work with some startups, especially if they are looking for accelerated growth. Then that they may definitely be a good fit because we usually shave years of guesswork. And let me say this as well. If there's a company that's not a good fit for us, we obviously have a book that we wrote to help them. And we have a marketing course as well, champagnemarketingcourses.com. That is our tell all course with 50 plus videos, a template and marketing plan that's better than any we've seen around the nation. We created our own because we couldn't find one. And my wife, who was a brilliant strategist, is on the videos with me, and we do a full series, a full course to help smaller businesses get off the ground and really make sense of their marketing.
Right, and there's definitely a need for that. I can tell you that. I know when I had first started, I owned part of a business with a restaurant and with the family, but ground up, yeah. Even my first franchise, there were certain things not covered, and that I had to figure out. So, especially with marketing, because the social media was still even new for the franchise, and in their defense, it just was a new platform people were trying to figure out. So this is great. And there's as I mentioned, a huge need. Derek, anything else that we missed that we didn't talk about that you'd like to bring up?
Yeah, sure. Actually, if you don't mind, I wanted to give just a couple bullet points of things that I wish someone had told me maybe 15, 20 years ago in business. And I'm going to share a few of those if I can. Okay. Especially people that are on the fence and are thinking about making a change. And so I'll give you those quickly. But number one is to find shortcuts. That sounds pretty obvious, but there's probably somebody in front of you that's done it well already that can help you shortcut your success. I talk about us shaving 3 to 5 years of guesswork. There's one example on the marketing and the branding, right, for launch. So find those who have paved the way already, the pioneers. You don't have to be the pioneer if you're going to go off on your own. You don't have to be. People have already done it. The second thing is to become a learner. Sometimes people say I'm a marketing expert or guru, and I say, no, I'm a marketing student. So if you're going off on your own or even in the career you're in, be willing to always be the person that continues to learn the most, because the person that keeps learning the most has the most value. And then the next thing is to find a mentor. Find somebody that will invest in you and that will help patiently help guide you through the pitfalls and help you recognize opportunities when you haven't seen them before. And there's two more. Another one is join a mastermind. Find a mastermind of people that are like-minded that can help hold you accountable to grow. And the last one is become a connector. When you can become somebody that meets and learns and networks, but does it to help other people, you become the most valuable person in other people's network.
I like that. That's That's really helpful. And as you mentioned, you're helping people out so they don't have to figure this out on their own, which is
that's right,
which is huge. So, well, awesome. Listen, Derek, this has been great, and I really appreciate you being on the show. There's some really good advice in this show. We're going to add everything to the show notes, all the links. We'll add those hyperlinks on there if you want to access the book, your website, you know, company website, and as well as the opportunity. Derek, I really appreciate being on the show, and hope to talk to you soon.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for what you're doing. I'm honored to be a guest, and I love this resource that you're providing for so many.
Thanks for tuning in. Whenever you're ready, here are three ways Giuseppe can help. One, subscribe to the podcast to hear inspiring stories and actionable tips from career transition and franchising experts and corporate refugees who've jumped into successful franchising on the Franchise Freedom Podcast at ggthefranchiseguide.com/podcast. Two, want to understand how successful executives make the transition from corporate to owning their own franchise? Join Giuseppe's next online presentation, Franchise Freedom: How to Escape the Corporate World and Have Financial and Time Freedom by Owning a Franchise, by going to ggthefranchiseguide.com/video. Three, want to work with Giuseppe one-on-one to identify the right franchise opportunity for you, to navigate the process, and get plugged into experienced franchising advisors? Send him an email to gg@ggthefranchiseguide.com with one-on-one in the subject, and he'll send you all the details.